Take your Bibles and let's turn to John chapter 8. John 8, and I want to look mostly at verses 21 and 22. Now recently, last week actually, we saw here where our Lord declared to these Jews that he is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. Let's read at verse 12, John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so by this, he's declaring that he is the salvation. He's the Savior of his people scattered throughout the world. And additionally, when the Lord says, I am the light of the world, and we say Christ is the Savior of the world, we're not talking about him being the Savior of every individual, but that he alone is the Savior of all the people that are saved and received by God. It's through Jesus Christ alone. There is no salvation outside of Christ. And then this unbelief, which was shown by the Jews, it shows how great the darkness that men are in. We are under great darkness naturally, carnally, by the flesh born of Adam. So much so that if Christ doesn't deliver his people out of that darkness by his grace, we too, if we were left to ourselves, we would perish in our sins. But the difference that the Lord is showing us in this regard, the difference is it's all of grace. That there's nothing, it's not that we're good, that we're better, that we're less sinful or perfect. Not in this flesh, not at all. We're all dead in trespasses and sins. We all need the salvation that the Lord has provided in his Son, Jesus Christ, alone, and his salvation shall not fail for his people. And that's why his people are brought out of darkness and made to see and behold and know that he is salvation. And so the Lord makes his people to know this, that he's salvation. He makes us to know him, to believe him, to look to him, to cry out to him. He does this by his grace and mercy, and he does it through faith. But that natural man who has not the knowledge of God, who does not have the Spirit and doesn't know the grace of God, that natural man left to himself is nothing but enmity, fighting, warring against the true and living God, denying him, not believing him, counting him to be a liar. And we're told of them that they, as religious as man can be, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And that means that with all their righteousness, they will not bow to Christ. They will not bend the knee until that day when the Lord makes every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our Savior, our Lord does that. So I titled this message, Following Christ. Following Christ. And we're going to notice here the vain confidence of man. But as we see this vain confidence of man, take note how gracious, how merciful your God is to you that believe, because we believe by his grace. That's why we're not left in darkness, why we have a hope in Christ, why we look to him. It's all of grace. And so as you see the enmity that's apparent here in these men, that's where we all would be. That's where we all are naturally, but for God, but God who delivered us by his grace. And so our Lord makes a clear division of the children of God, those that are called, those that are chosen, those that are faithful, looking to Christ, the children of God, and there's a great difference between them and the children of the devil, them that will not believe, them that will not hear. They will not turn to Christ. And the people are separated by Christ. To the one, he reveals himself to. To the one, he removes the blindness from our heart. He removes the blindness from our eyes so that we see he's the light. He is the light of God. He's the salvation of God for his people. And so he being their light, they follow him. And he being the shepherd leads them out of darkness and brings us into the light of our God, into the salvation and knowledge of our God. While the others, Christ leaves to themselves. And because no man can save himself, it's made evident to us that what God has done in us is grace. Because man left to himself cannot save himself, and he'll never bring himself out of the darkness. He'll never lift himself up out of the pit of despair and depravity. It's all by the grace of our God in Christ. Now, this truth, the truth of Christ, the declaration that Christ is the Savior, that's not kept hidden. It's not like it's secret knowledge. Christ declared to these men that same truth which is declared to us. He declared the very truth of God to them. He tells them the truth, but they would not hear. And he says in verse 21, "Then said Jesus again unto them," to these Jews, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, or where I'm going, ye cannot come." The Lord is speaking of his salvation. He's declaring that he's going to work salvation. I go my way. And that is, he's going to do the will of his Father to redeem the people according to the will and purpose of God, to save a people for himself, that we should know him and glory in him and rejoice in his grace. Christ saying, I'm going to work that will and purpose of my Father to redeem my sheep, to bring them in by the death of myself, by his redeeming grace and power to shed his blood for his people. Then he says to these Jews, "And ye shall seek me." What he's saying is, you're going to continue, you religious men and women, you're going to continue seeking the Messiah. You're going to continue looking for salvation. You don't see salvation in this Jesus of Nazareth that's standing here preaching this gospel and declaring the truth to you. You will not believe me, but you're going to continue to look for a Messiah. You're going to keep searching for the Christ according to the expectations of your flesh. You're looking for salvation according to your flesh, according to the works of the flesh, according to that which gives you glory and boasting and confidence in self. That's what you're going to continue doing. You're going to continue looking for, but you will not find salvation. You seek it in the flesh, you will not find salvation. Instead, he says, ye shall die in your sins. Ye shall die in your sins, meaning that our sins, all who die in their sins, what the Lord is saying is our sins, if we die in our sins, will be found upon us. They'll be found upon us. We'll be charged with our sins. We'll be accountable to answer for our sins. And we will be punished for our sins. And that punishment, we're told, is the second death or eternal death, eternal separation from God, eternal wrath of God upon those that die in their sins. And all who die in unbelief of Christ die in their sins. And that's those that die in their sins is as opposed to what our Lord does for his people in grace. And his people, we're told, die in faith. They die in faith, or they sleep. They sleep in faith. They sleep in the Lord, or as we're told, they die in faith. And faith looks to Christ, for our salvation. And our Lord says, all who believe me shall never be ashamed. Meaning we won't appear before God naked and unclothed, and with our sins upon us, we'll appear before God covered in the righteousness of Christ, having no sin, having no shame, being accepted of God. Thanks be to the praise and glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who did this for us in grace. And then our Lord adds, whither I go, where I go, ye cannot come. He's speaking to the Jews here, the Jews who did not hear him, did not believe him, did not trust him. He says, where I go, ye cannot come. You can't come there. And so the Lord's essentially saying, I go my way, and where I go, ye cannot come. You cannot follow me. And he's speaking there to those Jews. You cannot come after me. You cannot follow me. Now, we know from verse 12 there are some that do follow Christ. There are some that do follow Christ, that go the way of Christ. Look back at verse 12 again, John 8, 12. He that followeth me, he's speaking of those that follow him. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So there's some who do go the way of Christ. There's some that do go the way of Christ. And these Jews, they didn't go the way of Christ. But just a little while later in John 14, if you want to turn there and see it, John 14, verse 4 through 6. Our Lord, speaking to his disciples, says almost these same words. He says, and where I go, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And that's because our Lord makes the way of salvation known to his people. He does not leave his people in darkness, but he brings the gospel to your hearing, and by the Spirit makes you to hear the word, makes you to hear the call effectually in your hearts, and causes you to look to him. Now, Thomas said unto him in verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Aren't you thankful that Thomas asked this, so that there's no doubt of what Christ is saying? Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so now we know the way. It's Christ. And now we understand why those unbelieving Jews could not go after him. They couldn't follow him because they would not come in Christ. They don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not hear it. They will not believe him. They look for another, but another cannot save them because Christ is the light of the world. He alone is salvation. We're not going to be saved in any other way but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those that are unconverted, those that know not Christ, they have no faith in Christ. And the difference between the Lord's people and those that have no faith in Christ, they may believe, right? Religion teaches a lot of people that Christ is the Savior, right? A lot of people believe that Christ is the Savior, but he's not their Savior. There's a big difference. It's not enough to believe that Christ is the Savior, that he is salvation. We believe that he's my Savior. I'm the sinner. I need his blood. I need his death to die for me. I need him to put away my sin. I need his sacrifice. I'm nothing apart from him. I don't have works. I have nothing special to recommend me to God. I need the salvation of God. And that's the difference. There's a lot of people that believe Christ is God and that he came in the flesh and that he's the Savior and he did some general work of salvation. But they never see Christ as their Savior because they don't need him. They don't need salvation. They don't know what that even is. It's never applied to them. And The child of God isn't satisfied with that. We're not satisfied with a general Savior. We're not satisfied with a general salvation and just going through the motions of religion. Christ is our Savior because we're sinners. We're desperate for God's grace and mercy because there's nothing we can do to clean it up. There's nothing we can do to clean up our mess and our sin and our unrighteousness and our iniquities and our trespasses. We're guilty. We're guilty before holy, perfect, wonderful God. We're guilty before Him. And so we need the Savior to pull us up out of the pit, to bring us out of the darkness into His light, to wash me, to wash us in His blood, to cleanse me of my sin, to obtain eternal redemption and forgiveness for me before God. We need that. We know it. God showed us. We're sinners, guilty before Him. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. Save me. And we cry out for His grace. We need that blood applied, and we need His righteous robe put upon us to adorn us with His grace, because we know we shall stand before God. And if we die without Christ, we die in our sins. Now, another way to hear this or to see it is our faith isn't an implicit faith. Implicit means it's suggested. It's suggested, but it's never directly confirmed. It's just sort of just suggested in there, the way it comes out. There's nothing real to it. It's just indicated that this person's a believer. And what I mean is there's many people that go to church, that go to services for a long time. Some people have grown up in the church, and they marry somebody from the church, and their kids go to church, and they spend years and years going to services and participating in many things, maybe even being baptized, taking communion, and you know, participating in those things of the church. And it's just implied that they're believers. They are friends with other believers, even in gospel churches. And yet they have no application of Christ to them. They may even have implicit faith. They may think that by these things, this is their salvation. This is what God has brought them to do. And they believe the report that God has given in His word, and they trust that. But that's not salvation. It's very different from what we just looked at and described as, I need salvation. I need to be delivered because I'm the sinner. I'm guilty before God, and Christ is my only salvation. And so we don't just believe the reports of Christ. We need Christ. We see in Christ everything that God requires of me. Everything that I cannot give is all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the child of God looks away from self and has no confidence in this flesh and looks to Christ. We hang everything on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're persuaded that He is salvation, that He's everything I need. And so we don't come with Jesus plus. We don't come with Jesus plus. Jesus plus the law. Jesus plus my baptism. Jesus plus my pedigree. Jesus plus my Bible reading. Jesus plus my prayers. Jesus plus my coming to church. It's not Jesus plus. It's Jesus Christ alone. He is all our salvation and none other. In Isaiah 45, verse 21 and 22, verse 21 begins, "Tell ye, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me." And many people stop right there. They're satisfied with that report. They're satisfied to know there's one God and there's one Savior of men. And they stop right there with that report and say, I believe that. I believe that Christ is the Savior. But don't stop there. The child of God doesn't stop there. He says in the next verse, verse 22, "Look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved. That's saying it's not just enough to know you're the Savior. I need your salvation. Save me. Because you know you're a sinner. You know that you've no righteousness in yourself. Not because you know it, but because the Spirit has revealed it to you. And made you to know it. And made you to cry out to the Lord. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. That's what the gift of faith works in his people. Believing him, seeing the light, seeing our need, seeing my works under the law haven't done nothing for me, except make me 7 times more a child of hell than if I didn't try and come to God in that way. We need him more and more, and so his grace separates between those that die in their sins and those that die in faith. It's all of his grace. And we look outside of ourselves, beyond just that report, and say, Lord, save me. Please, Lord, have mercy on me, because I need it. I can't save myself. Our Savior is as vital to us as breathing and a beating heart. He's as vital to us as those things. We're nothing. You know, it's like seeing yourself as having, I don't mean this in a bad way, almost as having a twin, and yet Christ is the twin with everything. He's got the heart, the brains, the organs, everything, and all we do is just are connected to the vine. We're just feeding off of him. We depend on him for everything because there's nothing in us. It's nothing in us, but it's all of his grace and power. So the Lord tells them the truth. In John 8:21, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And then in verse 22, here comes this arrogant response of these self-righteous, self-confident Pharisees, these people who are steeped in religion, and oh so good. And they say, then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Will he kill himself? Because he saith, where I go, ye cannot come. They're mocking Christ. They're not sincerely asking this. They're mocking Christ. Because in their mind, anything Christ can do, anything this Jesus of Nazareth can do, they can do it. They can do it. Wherever he goes, they can go too. And so surely if righteousness is required, Lord, here's my righteousness. Here's my service to you. Oh, is a sacrifice required? I got that too. I can lay this down. I can do this for you. Whatever you need, Lord, I can provide it. And that's what the self-righteous thinks. They think they're all that and more. Now turn over to Exodus. Exodus 19. Exodus 19, and we're going to begin in verse 7 and 8. But stay there for just a bit with me, because I want to look at a couple other verses in that same chapter. This is Exodus 19, and we're going to begin in verse 7. And 8. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. We're going to do it. Everything he's spoken in his law, we'll do it. We'll do it. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. They didn't do it. They can't do it. They cannot do the Lord's word. And you'll notice there, the Lord didn't say, the people have well spoken. The people have well spoken. Right? Sometimes he did. He said, the people have well spoken, what they said here. But here he did not say, the people have well spoken. And he was just silent on it. And that's because the purpose of the law is to make us to know the exceeding sinfulness of sin. The exceeding sinfulness of sin, Romans 7:13. Right? You can compare that with Romans 3:19 and 20. That the law was given to make us to know we are sinners, insufficient to, and come up short of the glory of God. We cannot save ourselves. And so these Jews are talking to Christ, and they were coming under the law. Right? They're trying to come to God under the righteousness of the law. And that means that they're going to die in their sins. Anyone who comes under the law will die in their sins. And that's why Christ said to those coming in the law, "Whither I go, ye cannot come." You cannot approach unto the Father and live. Now, look at Exodus 19:24. Here we see the law showing us, giving us an example. You cannot approach God coming in the law. Because these people who said, "All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do." Verse 24, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee." Right? There's a picture of the two offices, the prophet and the high priest, coming up to the king. But, he says, "Let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them." And you see, you know, that's exactly what people in religion do. They're so confident that they can approach unto the Lord. And he shows them here in the law, you cannot approach unto God. He's a terrifying fire that'll burn us up. We'll be carried away with our sins and perish before the Lord. And you notice actually also in verse 21 and through 23, or verse 21 and 23, Moses, you know, is saying, the Lord says to Moses, "Go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord and gaze, and many of them perish." And Moses said, "The Lord, we told them, I already told them. We put up boundaries even around it, and we told them, don't come up here." And then verse 24 says, "Away, get thee down and tell the people," because that's how obnoxiously bold and self-confident and self-righteous we are. That we're going to, we heard that, but I'm going to go get a peek anyway. No, you're not. We're not going to see the Lord except the Lord in his glory, and we'll perish in our sins if we come in the law. And the Lord said, "Go down again, Moses, and tell them again," because they're not listening. They're not going to listen. They're not going to believe the word. And so our Lord, you know, man left to himself, thinks he hears the word. Christ, here's what Christ is saying. Here's him telling them the truth, and they will not believe. Isn't it grace? Isn't it a wonder of his grace that we do hear him and believe him and know that I'm nothing? I can't approach him in the law. I can't approach him in religion. I can't approach him in anything that I do. I need his salvation. I need his grace and mercy in Christ. And we look to him by his grace and mercy. It's a wonder of his grace. Thank him. Praise him. Be glad in him. Because Christ said, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." And they just mocked him, and because nothing's impossible for them. They can do no wrong in their own eyes. And that's how we all are until the Lord comes in mercy and grace, and lifts off that blindness, and delivers us from the prison, and draws us out into the light, and delivers us from our death in that pit in our sins, and brings us into the kingdom in his loving embrace, fills us with his Spirit, cleanses us with his blood, and puts that robe of righteousness on him, filling our hearts with his love and his Spirit to believe him and to stay upon him. And so there's many like these Jews, billions and billions like these Jews. They hear the truth, right? And it's even in so-called Christian religion, right? Some say, "Well, I'm going to be a Catholic and I'm going to approach through Catholicism, or I'm going to be a Protestant and I'm going to do that and follow the Lord that way, or I'm going to be a Baptist, or I'm going to be a Hindu or yoga or, you know, whatever, Muslim." All of it, none of it can save. None of it can save. Christ alone saves. Not enough to be called a Christian. We need Christ. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so next we see there that the mercy of God reveals that there is a people, right? There is a people that believes Christ, that do follow him by his grace. And I'm just going to say three things that the Lord does for his people in his saving, in his salvation. First, Christ came and he went his way. He went to the cross. He went and fulfilled the will of God, purpose before the foundation of the world, to save a people for himself by the blood redemption, by the blood purchase and sacrifice of his darling son, to give his life that he may give you life, that you might be his people, his chosen people, his redeemed, his precious bride, whom he loves. Christ did that. He was born for that very purpose and came in the flesh for that very purpose, to bear our punishment and put it away forever. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God hath made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's the Savior. And our Savior drank that cup of trembling dry, meaning he drank all the wrath of God, so that that cup being poured out, there's not a drop left to fall upon your heads that believe on Christ. There's not a drop of wrath that shall pour out, that shall drop on your head, because Christ drank it dry and put it all away, that we should be righteous in him. Second, when we die, we shall die in faith. We that are Christ shall die in faith. Just like it says in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith. These all died in faith. That's the gift of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're precious to him. He loves you. He called you out of darkness. That's why you believe on him and look to him and have no confidence in the flesh. Third, Christ brings this salvation to us. Because he pleases God to reveal his salvation to us, that we should know him who saved us and believe on him and rejoice in him. It can't be separated. God is pleased to reveal this to his people, so that we die in Christ, because Christ cannot fail. He cannot fail. He cannot fail to bring this salvation effectually to the hearts for all for whom he died. He cannot fail to do it. And so he brings salvation to us. He brings us under the preaching of the gospel to hear it, to believe it, to receive it and believe on him and call upon him, because he makes us born again. He doesn't leave us in this flesh. He doesn't leave it to a decision for us to make first. No, we call out upon him. We cry out to him. We look to him because he gives us life and faith, whereby we believe and trust him and call upon him. So we're all sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, until the Lord brings that salvation to us. But he makes us to know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And all who come through him shall come to the Father and shall stand before his throne faultless, praising and glorying in the salvation of our God through Jesus Christ. Amen.